lunchtime on a Friday. You made it through it. Congratulations. Snow's melting. Sun's out. Supposed to be a little bit of a nicer weekend than what we have dealt with over the last couple of days. So if you're out there driving, stay safe. Get home. And enjoy a Friday here. A couple of things happening in the NFL world. There was a trade with the Minnesota Vikings today that added a first-round draft pick. That tells us they have identified a quarterback. They're going to jump up and try to get said quarterback. They're obviously in front of Denver, and now with more draft ammo, that's been a big topic of conversation here today, Stoke. And you and I said, if it's J.J. McCarthy that Sean has fallen in love with, but is also got the eye of the Minnesota Vikings. Well, the Vikings just got their guy in J.J. McCarthy with the moves they made today.
Yeah, they're going to try to move up. Certainly it takes two to tango, but they have, if there's a team that's willing to trade, it's going to be with the Vikings. The Broncos don't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what the Vikings are doing. They're making plans to try to move up and go get their quarterback, whether it be J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix. It seems like it's going to be one of those two. You look at the positions where they can go. Certainly, it's probably not going to be the first pick or the second pick or the third pick, right? Those three teams you think are going to stay put and take a quarterback. You go to the Cardinals. That's an interesting one there. There's a possibility there that they could be in the market to trade and move back and still be able to get a couple playmakers to help Kyler Murray out there, and I think the Chargers are another team that would be in the market to possibly move back. So you look at those two spots for a team like Minnesota to be able to use these two first-round picks this year that they have now and move up to either the fourth spot or the fifth spot to get their quarterback. That looks like the play they're trying to make.
Yes, it does, and they're going to find their person, they're going to find their QB, and then what it means to trickle down, as you said, for the Broncos. Have they fallen in love with somebody enough to be the 12th pick, or do they trade back and acquire some more things? Speaking of Bo Nix, if that is the guy, Field Yates, NFL analyst, was at his pro day and talked about the big brain on Bo Nix. His football IQ will impress coaches.
I left the Bo Nix Oregon pro day thinking to myself, Bo Nix is going to go to the pre-draft visits, which are oftentimes the first time that some coaches, not all, but some coaches, get the chance to meet these prospects, because obviously they're not on the road during the season and so few teams are sending large contingents of coaches to the combine anymore. And I thought to myself, he's going to make so many coaches such big fans of his because the football intellect is exceptional.
See, there's a couple of things to that of, all right, Field Yates, why would he lie about it, right? Making the report, he is a reporter. But those meetings and that kind of stuff, Stoke, like we talked about at the combine and the conversations you had when you were getting interviewed of, like, it's a job interview. You're always going to say the right things. I think it's, I don't want to be too mean, but like, it's pretty tough to screw up an interview.
Yeah. Even if you're not like a good guy, you can
yeah,
fake it.
Right.
So I think ultimately it's like, You go through the interview process, and I'm sure these teams have been lied to a lot, but you have to do your research, your homework on these guys, and you go back to the school, you talk to the coaches, you talk to the equipment staff, the training staff, all those people to kind of get an idea about who they really are, right? Because they can sit there and lie to you and sell you on one thing, but be the total opposite.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't think you get a ton out of those. But every now and then you'll probably have a dum-dum that kind of shows themselves a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to go through the process, certainly, but then you need to double-check your homework.
Yeah.
Right? Double-check that math. Josh?
Well, I'm not the one to double-check. We might have to bring a computer or calculator.
However you need to double check, you
something.
Can do it. Yeah,
take
double
my boots
check
off
with
to get to 20.
That's like, right. Yeah. Double check with the calculator. That's okay. Just make sure that you get it right. And I think with these teams, certainly you need to double check your homework, especially with these early picks, these first round picks, these quarterbacks, to make sure they have all that other stuff like is checked.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're investing a lot of money in these people. All right.
It's more than money, it's resources. You know, it's your draft capital. It's the foundation of your team, and you don't want to miss something that, oh, gosh, we thought it was this, but it was really that. And you just can't afford to miss on something that's just simple about going out there and doing a little bit of homework on certain guys. But I think overall, looking at that trade, the Vikings getting another pick is probably not good news for the Denver Broncos, not a good day for the Denver Broncos. Whether it be, it's probably going to be McCarthy, right? And so you look at the situation and say, well, if the Broncos did love McCarthy and they were hoping to get him, probably not going to get him now. Mm-hmm. So it looks like if you want an early quarterback, it's going to be Bo Nix or Penix Jr.
Texter says, Vikings telling us about the trade that they made. They're positioning themselves to aggressively trade up and get their quarterback. Sure looks like the Vikings are schooling Sean Payton. Sean Payton doesn't have the capital, the ammunition to do what the Minnesota Vikings did. Now, it's a little bit of his fault because they used a second-round pick to go get Sean Payton to come be the coach, and we know what the Russ situation was. So, yeah, it's... All right, they might be, but they had more in the cupboards than Sean Payton does to make this move and get in a position to be aggressively trading up.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. You can only do so much.
Yeah, and all that stuff happened before Sean got here.
So if you don't have a lot of draft capital, you don't have a lot of cap space. You saw last year, they spent a lot of money. This year, they just don't have the resources that they had last year to be as aggressive as they want to be because of the cap hit with Russ. You don't have the draft capital to move up and to make things happen like the Vikings just made happen. So, you know, I mean, like, we would all like to move up. I'm sure Sean would like to move up to a certain spot and get his quarterback. But you can only do so much, especially when you look around the quarterback position and you need upgrades there also.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that person's just a little bit off because, you know, the Vikings have a little bit more to offer than the Broncos do.
What's more valuable to an NFL team, the 23rd pick that Minnesota acquired or Patrick Surtain? What gets you more?
Patrick Surtain.
It does?
Yeah.
Known commodity, all pro.
Right. Yeah,
you're also
going
to have to give them $100 million in a year.
Yeah, that's okay, but you don't mind paying your great players if they're special players, and you know what you're getting with Surtain. I mean, I think if you look to trade him, certainly you would expect more than the 23rd pick in return.
Well, the reason I asked is if Patrick becomes a part of the equation for the Denver Broncos, are they still in this conversation with the Minnesota Vikings about chasing J.J. McCarthy? And we're just assuming it's J.J. McCarthy.
Right. Certainly. You could throw that in there. And it just depends on the team and the needs of the team and how close the team thinks that they are to maybe competing for a championship. So you look at a team like, I don't know, just insert a team, and if they don't think they're close to competing for a championship, maybe they don't value the cornerback position. Maybe they'd rather the young draft pick, cheap draft pick to try to build around. So I think it depends on the team.
Okay.
But overall, yeah, Surtain is worth way more than the 23rd pick in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. I just didn't know what it would look like of, you know, the unknown of a first-round draft pick is still pretty dang valuable to NFL teams. But he's
a gamble.
All-pro corner that you plug in right away, and he's probably your best defensive player on the field. So I don't know that I'm in the – yeah, I'm not. I've changed my mind on trading Patrick Surtain. Like unless it gets you to 1, 2, or 3, I keep PS2 on this Broncos roster.
Yeah, I think you don't want to trade your best player right now, certainly. But at the same time, I do want a quarterback. I just don't think you're going to have a scenario where that happens for the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm.
All right, one more from Field Yates here. Now, we remember when Sean Payton's talking about the things that he wants, he kind of took like a backhanded shot at Russ by saying, here's what I want and hadn't had.
Processing. The Super Bowl?
Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
Processing was a part of that, right? That's kind of been the biggest part of it. And apparently, that's where Bo Nix thrives.
He told me after the pro day that the trait that he thought maybe could most sell NFL teams is his processing. And that certainly shows up on tape. It's not just being able to put the ball accurately where it's supposed to be, but also knowing in a fast period of time where it's going to go, which can create run-after-catch opportunities. So I do think that Bo has a pretty clearly defined set of skills, and I do think that's going to appeal to a lot of teams. And if you told me he goes 12th to the Denver Broncos, I would say, I buy it.
So there you go, processing, the ability to process. That's what Bo believes his best attribute is. And, I mean, what, he plays 61-something games? Like, he's had the reps to be good at processing.
That's what Phil Yates thinks Bo.
No, no, that's what Bo Nix told Phil Yates.
That's what he told him.
Yep.
Gotcha.
My best attribute is process.
Oh, perfect. I mean, and you know, like you mentioned earlier, Sean Payton talked about that. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part about being a NFL quarterback, certainly, is being able to process the information and go out there and execute it at a high level, right? And it, things are moving a lot quicker in the NFL than they did in college. So it becomes a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
And the throws are tougher. You're getting hit quicker. And so you have to make those decisions so much quicker. I mean, I would think, like, if someone said, hey, what's your strength? And you said processing, that's probably, you know, pretty accurate, mm-hmm. right? And obviously they say he's, the numbers say it, that he's a very accurate quarterback in college. So when you can process and you're accurate, that's a pretty good combination, I would think. And those are the things that a guy like Sean Payton is looking for.
Yeah.
Look, there's our 12th pick right there. Bo Nix.
Can we
got it solved.
Can we reenact your interview? Can I be the interviewer and I'm going to ask you what your best attribute is?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the, when were you, 1988 draft? When were you drafted?
1988.
Oh,
99 draft.
So it's the Combine 99. I'm an NFL team.
Okay.
You're you.
Yeah.
You come in. Hey, Brad Stokely, or Brandon Stokely.
Brandon.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Yeah, I just talked to a Brad.
Yeah. Sorry, we all look alike. Don't worry about it.
Sure.
Yeah.
What's your best attribute as a slot receiver?
I mean, it had to be my speed.
Oh.
Yeah, speed. Speed kills, right?
It does, yeah.
And I provide a lot of that.
Okay.
So I feel like my deep threat ability, getting behind cornerbacks is what I do best.
Okay. Bill, it's been great. We'll let you know how we feel.
Thanks.
Yeah.
George, no, appreciate it.
Am I accurate?
Not bad. Not bad at all.
I would say your speed is your best. Well, I don't know. Your hands, like, you got a couple of attributes that you could have thrown out.
Yeah, I was lying. I was lying to you, dude. Okay. I was lying.
Look at me. Lying it, too.
Right. Like, just wanted hook, line, and sinker.
I'm in an interview. Yes. Why would you lie?
Right. That's what I do. I just, I got to sell you on something, you know? So hopefully Bo Nix didn't do that. But like you look at what he said, you look at what these other people have said when you talk about Lewis Riddick, Phil Yates, and it just says, okay, this guy might be that perfect guy that fits what Sean Payton's looking mm-hmm. for. Now the question is, okay, Vikings, let's just say they move up to the Chargers, the fifth spot, and they take J.J. McCarthy, and do you, as the Broncos, if you really like this guy, I mean, when do you start looking? Do you try to get to the eighth spot?
Oh, to get Bo.
Yes, if he's available still at the eighth spot. Certainly if he gets by the Giants. The Titans probably aren't going to take him at seven. The Giants could take him at six. But if they don't, now you start looking at the Falcons, the Bears, the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 11th spot would be, say, the Chargers, who just traded.
Yeah.
So do you feel comfortable gambling that, you know what, we'll gamble in this situation and hopefully that he falls down to us, because none of these teams really want quarterbacks?
Yeah. That would be my play of, I'm just not sold on Bo Nix. I like what I'm hearing about it. I like that he thinks processing is his best attribute. But I'm not sold on him enough to lose more capital, more draft capital to go and get him.
Well,
I still don't even feel that way about JJ.
I know, but like JJ's gone, so like you don't have to worry about that. So someone does.
Okay,
but here's the question. All right. Now, you're Sean Payton. Okay. You're Sean Payton. And you really do like Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not Josh Dover. You're Sean.
Okay.
And you really do like him. And obviously we need a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you like a lot of these things that this guy has to offer. And JJ McCarthy's gone. And so you're sitting there, and you're sitting at 12, and all of a sudden, you know, it gets to pick 8 with the Falcons. Do you try to call them to make a move to get him? You like him. You like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you gamble and hope that he falls to you?
I probably gamble. I probably still gamble. I mean, you like him or you love him? I guess I
just told you.
Him.
I just told you. You love him. You really, really like him, and you kind of love him.
Okay, well then you're gambling. You're not gambling. You're doing whatever you have to do to go get him.
Good answer. You want to know why?
Why?
Who's sitting right behind you?
The Raiders.
Right.
Yeah.
Do they need a quarterback?
Maybe
they do. They do. Let me help you out. Okay. They do. They do. They need a quarterback. All they got is Minshew and Aiden.
Yeah.
Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah.
Gardner, Minshew.
Minshew's right? All right.
Yeah, exactly. You said it. Do you want just all right?
No.
Right, exactly. So all of a sudden, you start gambling too much here when you love a guy, then the Raiders, like, jump in front of you, and they snatch him. And then you're like, dang it. So that's why it's hard to play that game. Now, if you like him at 12, then okay. And he falls to you at 12, and you're good with that. But if you really like him, I mean, if you really love him, and then I don't think you can gamble in that situation, because there's other teams that could leapfrog you and go get that guy. And, you know, I think Sean has told us that he loved Patrick Mahomes, wanted Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs jumped him, bam, and got him. So I'm just saying.
He doesn't want to get burned again.
I don't think Sean's going to be very patient if he loves Bo Nix. And Bo Nix is sitting there at 8, and the Falcons are willing to do business, that he would gamble in that situation.
What's it take to get from 12 to 8?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know what that looks like. Don't know.
Like, and this is, again, I'm trying to be Sean in it, like a first of next year?
I don't think that much.
Next year's second?
I think it's a multitude of picks, though.
Okay.
I don't think moving up 4 spots is a first rounder, but maybe it's a first next year. I don't know. You don't have a second rounder this year.
No.
So it's not like you can package a second and a third and a second next year, because you don't have that. Maybe it is a first next year. Gosh, I would hate to do that.
Yeah, I would be very hesitant on that part of it.
You know what else I hate? Not having a damn quarterback. I hate not having a damn quarterback going out there and watching this offense week in and week out. Like, put up 15, 16, 17 points. So I hate that more.
I really do.
Mm-hmm. So let's find a quarterback, please.
Yeah.
That can bring some excitement here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at right now with the Broncos. I don't want to give up a first rounder next year if that's what it takes.
Me neither.
I don't want to give up anything. But at the end of the day, what's more important, that first rounder next year or a quarterback?
It's always quarterback.
Yeah.
Broncos fans, how are you feeling about it? Let us know. The RamosLaw.com text line's open, 303-713-1043. Same rules over on the Twitch feed, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. See a few over there. My guy Nate for a heart writing back. We'll get over there as well. All right, real fast, change gears. Stay on the football field, kind of. Because I saw a story about Deion Sanders. We're going to hear from Prime later. He was on Jimmy Fallon last night, dude.
Saw that.
Pretty cool, right?
I guess.
Wearing his gold whistle necklace. That's my favorite one that he wears. What do you mean, you guess?
I don't know. I mean, like,
You wouldn't think it was cool if your coach was on Jimmy Fallon? If you're a college kid.
No, not really.
Because you don't watch Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah, I don't know, like, how many kids watch Jimmy? Do you think high school kids are watching Jimmy Fallon?
I watched David Letterman when I was in high school.
I know, but I don't think but you didn't have a cell phone.
Oh, true.
You know, like, you don't have
internet.
Right, exactly. So, like, I watched Letterman and Leno and, I did too, but, like, you don't, like, those shows were really all you had back then. Sure. Nowadays, like, who watches Kimmel and Fallon? Like, who really watches that stuff anymore? Especially high school kids. I don't think a lot, or college kids. I would say not a lot, but I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe they do. I don't know. It's, I don't think it's like, oh, the greatest thing ever.
Right.
It's Deion Sanders, dude. He's got Rick Ross coming. He's got Lil Wayne coming. Like, okay, he's on Fallon. Like, they don't, it's like, whatever.
I guess
Rick Ross back.
They'd probably listen to Weezy's podcast before they checked out Fallon's Tonight Show.
I think so.
Okay, right about that.
All right.
But he was on the Tonight Show, and he actually had some cool comments that we'll get into later. But there's a story in USA Today about Prime and his recruiting, or really lack thereof. Since Deion became the head coach of the Buffaloes, he has made 0 off-campus recruiting visits. 0. He has left his couch in Boulder 0 times to go to another young possible future Buffs couch and talk to him about recruiting. He also has a $200,000 allowance to do these recruiting trips, private trips, private jet, all that good stuff. Has used 0 of those dollars as well.
Wow.
In this same time where Prime has done none of those things, Harbaugh made 145 off-campus visits, same timeline. Steve Sarkisian, 128 off-campus visits down there in Texas. Now, Prime obviously does things differently, but is that a reason to worry? Hey, he's changing the mold of what it looks like. How do you feel when I tell you Prime has made 0 off-campus recruiting visits.
Well, I mean, I'd rather a number bigger than zero because he's got that personality. He's got that draw, right? So I want him out there. I want him, you know, going to visit these high school kids and their parents and doing those things, letting them know they're a priority. But he's more focused on the transfer portal, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I think there's also an area there where you need to make yourself available to the high school kids still. But he's kind of going out about this differently, so I'm not going to sit here and knock him for that. He wants to win. He wants to get good players. And, you know, he's just it's a new age.
Yeah.
This recruiting and things are done differently now. And CU, Deion, I mean, their emphasis is on the portal more so than attracting high school kids. You bring him here, Deion will close the door there.
Right.
He'll close a deal for you and get it done. That's kind of how I looked at it. I mean, do you think it's a big deal? Do you think it's a little deal or no deal?
I mean, the number is, especially when I saw what Harbaugh and Sarkisian had did, like, okay, that's a huge discrepancy there of 100.
Is it Sarkisian or Sarkisian?
Sarkisian? I don't know.
You keep saying Sarkisian.
It's Sarkisian.
Sarkisian.
Yeah.
I'm wrong. Sorry.
I let it slide once the second time. I want to clarify for both of you.
Yeah, I want to know.
I know you do.
Yeah, thank
you. That's why, because you're receptive to that, because it happens a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, you're very receptive.
Actually, I take the thank you back. I don't know. The number
went too far with that second
one.
Yeah, you did.
The number is big, but I'm not. I also, when I read this last night, you know what I kept thinking? Prime's quote of, what high school kid deserves to have $1 million NIL deal? Like, he looks at the high school recruiting class way differently. Like, he wants guys that are plug and plays. I don't think that Prime is in the business of development, right? That's what it feels like for me. And it might change. Right now, they want to win now because they think they have that window. So I don't think that this is how he does it and it's written in stone. This is how he's doing it right now because of the roster that he has.
Okay, yeah.
Are you okay with it? You upset about it?
No, I'm fine with it, really. I mean, how's the recruiting been? The team's much better now than what it was.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, hey, just try to field a really good football team, and they've gotten some a big influx of talent. They just do it a little bit differently, and Deion's doing it differently than Steve Sarkisian or Jim Harbaugh did it or whoever, maybe Nick Saban. So, all right, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, he's Deion. He's done all things right thus far up there at the university. So just an interesting article there. USA Today had it. Again, you can go check it out. All right, we're going to take a time out. We're going to come back and get ahead of this Nuggets road trip. It continues in Texas tonight. They get a win. They can do something no other NBA team has done this year. What is it? We'll tell you next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
I love the first cast when the water's glass and the line starts to run. Well, that first sip of a cold beer when the working week's done. I love
it's lunchtime on a Friday. That working week is almost done. You're so close. Hope y'all had a good couple of days in the snow. Maybe you got the time off. Do you go sledding in this kind of snow, or is it like too wet?
No clue.
You're not a big sledder?
I'm not against it, but I'm not, you know.
Have you ever skied or snowboarded?
Yeah, I've skied.
And
what?
Did you like it?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
I get on the greens.
I thought you'd be pretty good.
And just cruise.
You're athletic. Your hips are able to swivel nicely.
But skiing is something that, you know, if you haven't done it, it still takes some time to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right? So I, and then again, you know, my motto, risk reward.
That's right.
And so I don't love it. I don't like driving up there. it's, I don't like getting all this stuff on and, you know, and then, so. Yeah.
Get all this stuff on.
Yeah, your gear, equipment.
You played football your whole life.
Yeah, but now you got to get the skis, you got to get the pants, you got the jackets, all this stuff, helmets, whatever you wear. I don't even remember. Goggles. It's just too much.
Okay.
For someone that's not very good at it, and I'm just cruising down the greens, it's fine once I get there, but just really not.
Okay.
Not my thing.
Okay. I've never even tried skiing. I've always snowboarded, but
I'm a snowboarder.
I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a lot of fun. It's put your headphones in, just go rip.
Yeah, I mean, all
right. Get left alone. That's right in your alley, man.
Yeah, I do that on the golf course.
Oh, okay. Wait, you put headphones in on the golf course?
No. Oh, but I got my music, okay. and you know, you kind of go in your own zone.
Yeah. If we're golfing together, which I'm sure will happen regularly this summer.
Yeah. Pencil it in weekly.
Why are you laughing, Kevin?
I'm not laughing at all.
Oh, okay. Because you're going to be there, right?
I was just smiling. Yeah, because I'll be there with you.
But if we were golfing and you had headphones in, dude, I would be like, Stoke! Be yelling your name.
So when y'all are teeing off, like, if I'm just, y'all just go ahead and play and then, you know.
You'll catch up,
I'll
right?
catch up. Of so course. Y'all don't wait for me on the tee box. Y'all just go ahead.
All right. Let me tell you about the Nuggets. They got a chance to do something no one's done, Stoke. They're good on the road, the Denver Nuggets. They're handling some business. In fact, if they can beat the Spurs tonight, and they should. The Spurs aren't very good. Yeah, they got Wimby, and he's good, but the team's bad, and their coach is a turd. But if they win tonight, it would be their fifth straight road win. So far, 9 NBA teams have put together 5-game winning streaks on the road. The Nuggets are one of those 9. But if Denver can get this done now, tonight, it would be their second 5-game winning streak on the road. No NBA team has done that. 2 5-game winning streaks on the road inside the season here. And they can do it with a victory tonight.
Love it. That's a good stat there.
Does it make you feel better at all about the chasing the one seed? Like, hey, they're all right on the road. They can handle their business.
I mean, look, I told you. If we get the number 2 seed, I'm not scared of OKC if they're the 1 seed. Like, it's not like, oh, my gosh, we're not going to be able to beat them.
Yeah.
I just prefer having it at home, right? I think our odds would probably go up in our favor to get out of the West. So that's what I prefer. Hey, can we go on the road every single series if we had to and win? Yeah, this team could do that. But I would just prefer not to have to. I want it to be as easy as possible, and that means home court throughout. So I like hearing that, though. It just tells me they're pros.
Mm-hmm.
They know what they're doing. They know how to go on the road and handle their business, right?
Yeah.
That's what mature, professional pros, that's what they do. And that's what that team is made up of. So certainly that's a hard thing to do. Go on the road to the NBA and have a winning streak like that, obviously, and to do it a couple times is awesome. So hopefully they can get it done tonight. And, you know, that win against Miami on the road, because you made the point in, you know, my last game going to South Beach, and Miami had lost 3 in a row. They were coming out ready to play, you know.
They lost to the Wizards at home.
Right. And so they were ultra-focused on getting back on track. And the Nuggets still went down there and smacked them around. So I love what this team is made up of, certainly. And, you know, just continue to roll with it tonight.
By the way, the Nuggets, these 4 road wins that they've had, all by 10 or more points. First team in NBA history to win 4 road games in a row by 10 or more points.
Oh, wow. First team in NBA history?
Never been done before.
I mean, that's kind of a weird stat.
You're finding a stat for everything.
That's a weird stat, but to think that no team in the NBA history has won 4 straight road games by 10 or more points is kind of crazy.
And before
this, a lot of road games and a lot of really good teams in the NBA. I mean, you think about the Bulls, you think about the Warriors when they were rolling, like they didn't have a 4-game streak where they beat some of these teams by 10 in a row.
I mean, think about that Bulls team lost 10 games. That Warriors team lost 9 games.
Right.
And they didn't put that together.
Yeah, I guess they didn't.
And in fact, they had only won 1 road game.
Just real quick, did Kisner give you these stats or Drew?
Drew.
Oh, yeah, it's probably wrong then.
Oh.
Yeah, probably wrong then.
But you like Kisner stats?
Huh?
You got Kisner?
No, they both would have been wrong.
So it was just wrong, whoever
said. Yeah. Unless you
doubted me last time.
Yeah, right, and you were right and Drew was wrong. So, right?
Right.
Yeah, yes. But, no, I'm just joking.
I'm going to trust
a little
him.
Bit.
I'm going to trust. I know.
Did he really give them to you?
No, I found them.
Okay. All right, good. They're facts now.
Yeah, okay. all right, so yeah, and then as I was going to say, the only road win of the season before this streak, it was once, Stoke, that they won by 10 or more. And this is actually going to help your point. It was OKC. They beat OKC on the road by 10 earlier this season.
Okay. It's a team that you just like they're unselfish. They play the game the right way. They don't care who gets credit. And they have a lot of really good pieces. I mean, who's selfish on this team?
Well, that's a great question. I mean,
you know, who's selfish? Who has to have the last shot of the game? You look around some teams and it's like, all right, this guy's going to shoot it no matter what, or this guy's got to get his, you know, his 30 SGA, right? That's what it's all about for some of these teams. Mm-hmm. And with the Nuggets, you look at them and it doesn't matter. Jokic doesn't care if it's Aaron Gordon making the game winner, Jamal, MPJ, Caldwell Pope, Reggie Jackson. It doesn't matter. It's just like, hey, let's go out and play the game the right way. And obviously he sets the tone for everyone else. And you got your next best player, Jamal, is pretty much the same way. So Aaron Gordon's not selfish, KCP, Michael. I mean, so they're just made up of a bunch of guys that, you know, don't have to be in the spotlight or have to be the guy night in and night out.
It's always about getting the best shot.
That's right.
Not the best player shooting. It's about the best shot.
Yes.
You remember Will Barton?
Yeah, Will the Thrill.
Yeah. Low end on the thrill for
right.
me.
Yeah.
I cannot stand Will Barton.
Yeah, I gather that after that first comment.
There's some off the court stuff, and then there's some on the court stuff.
Where is he still playing?
No. Weird, okay. Right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you off air, but Will Barton had a moment where, not a moment, his entire Nuggets career, if there was a last shot to be had, the other four Nuggets players could have just went to the bench because the ball was not leaving Mr. Barton's hands. Even if it was 23 seconds left and he had to dribble it for 23 seconds to wait for it to tick,
right.
He was just going to shoot that dang ball. I was going to say, I've seen that from Jamal in the past, not in about 2 years. And coincidentally enough, Will Barton hasn't been on the roster in 2 years.
There you go.
So you're absolutely right. Everybody is willing to give up their shot to get a better shot. That's what
makes great teams, mm-hmm. right? Just being unselfish, playing the game the right way. That's what they do. And then when you go on the road, you're able to handle your business.
Yep.
And it's been really impressive post All-Star break that this team's focus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jokic sent the text messages, whatever, right? I don't know what it was. Michael Malone yelling at him. I don't know. Maybe they got extra rest that they needed, but they've just been like, all right, now that's what great teams do. It's like, okay, you know, we were screwing around earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We were having some fun, but now it's game time. It's show time. It's time to get down to business here, and they're on a mission, and so it's they're focused in, and it's going to be a fun stretch here.
Yes, it is. Speaking of Jokic, did you see this week we have some sort of dinosaur exhibit here in town, a dinosaur museum or whatever? I guess every town has one. And Joker took his daughter there this week on one of the off days. The daughter, the mom, all this stuff. It was a family outing at the Denver Museum. And apparently, I got to give Denver sports fans some credit. I don't think anybody went up to Nikola and, hey, can I get a selfie, autograph, all that stuff. A few folks took videos, and it made its way around the internet. Nikola was asked about it by Nuggets Media, and then he literally said, how do you guys know about that? So, like, he didn't know that he went viral. He's not on the internet, so how would he know? I kind of think that's cool, though, that Denver sports fans understand enough of, like, hey, he wants to be left alone for the most part. He's out there dealing with his family. Like, leave him alone.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Like, just, you know, you want to go and be able to spend some time with your kid and your wife and look at dinosaurs, and when the fans allow you to do that,
yeah.
I guess that's a good thing, right?
Well, don't you think it's just like smart fans knowing, like, hey, he wants to be left alone, let's leave him alone so he stays here as long as possible and brings us championships?
I don't think so.
Oh, really?
No, because you got a lot of, you just didn't have the wrong ones there. I think that's what it was.
You're going to use another term, and I respect that.
Yeah, I just, you know, because I think a lot of people just can't help themselves. What's like, you kind of understand, it's like Nikola Jokic, right? Like, how many times are you going to run into him? Or see him? Or, like, have a chance to say hi, or shake his hand, or take a picture, right? I mean, so I just think the ones that were there, maybe we just had the right ones there.
Okay. Well, good. Kudos to you being the right ones at the Dinosaur Museum that day. All right, you know what it is? It's the third month of the year, and everybody gets angry in this month because your brackets aren't great. Well, we're going to make it great for you by giving you a chance to win 5K. DenverSports.com/hoops, where you can go and sign up for our Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. Entries are going to close on the 21st because, well, that's when the tournament starts. So you got to get it done before the first game tips off. Like I say, you're going to fill out a bracket. You're going to brag about your bracket. The biggest bragging rights you can get is a 5K prize coming your way. DenverSports.com/hoops. Sign up for our Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge today.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
All right, today the Minnesota Vikings made a trade to acquire another first-round draft pick. And we wondered how that affected the Denver Broncos. Well, if the Broncos love J.J. McCarthy and Minnesota loves J.J. McCarthy, well, they just added ammo to go up and get J.J. Even before Denver can. They're ahead of them at 11. But if Denver were to make a trade, they've added so much that Denver can't really compete in that. So, our very own Chicken Fingers, he did some research, Stoke.
Oh.
He did some research onto where the Broncos sit. They're at 12 right now, and you don't even have to go that far. Last year's draft, the Cardinals went from 12 to 6 with the Detroit Lions. Here's what they gave up. And we identified 6. Now, that still might not be enough if Minnesota wants to trade up with the Chargers, who are at 5. But here is a little bit of evidence and a conversation starter as to what it might take to get up there.
Okay.
So from 12 to 6 a year ago, Arizona swapped their first-round picks, gave up a second and a fifth. That fifth-round pick was compensatory, given to Arizona. They received a 6, or they received number 6. That's where they wanted to get to from 12, and a third-round pick. So you gave up a few spots, but you get to go up 6 in round 1, get the guy you have targeted, and you still get a third-round pick. That's not too pricey, right?
No, not at all. That's not pricey at all. I thought it would be way more than that. I mean, you're giving up a second, but you're getting a third.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's not that much to move up 6 spots in the first round. So you look at it, it's like, okay, it might be doable for the Denver Broncos, right? Where, okay, so the Vikings have more to offer. They want to give up another first round pick, then they're probably going to be able to move up to 5
mm-hmm.
with the Chargers there, right? That's probably what it's going to take and what it looks like for them. But if you're the Denver Broncos and say you're just trying to get up to 8, well, I don't know. Maybe it's a second next year and a third this year. But it doesn't even look like it's that much
mm-hmm.
to move up 4 spots. It might just be a second next year. So, interesting. I thought it would be a little bit more there. It's not. So the possibilities kind of open up for the Denver Broncos to maybe be able to move up to 6
yeah.
or move up to 8. You're probably not going to be able to compete with the Vikings, though.
At least for McCarthy.
Right.
Yeah.
If they want to move up to one of those spots, they just have more ammunition than you do. And that's what they're trying to do here. That's why they got that other first-round pick, so they can kind of control the trade market. They can control it now because they have that other first-round pick. We don't.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders don't. They do. So now if they want to move up, well, they got the trump card. Another first-round pick here in this year's draft, which is very valuable, obviously. So they kind of control the trade market there and what it looks like. And so you won't be able to compete with them when it comes to that. And so but now you look at the other spots where you could possibly move if you needed to, if you wanted to get a guy like Bo Nix and move up to make sure you got him.
I got some breaking news for you that is going to have a trickle-down effect to Russell Wilson.
Oh.
Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow.
Because Kenny Pickett just got traded to the Eagles.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. It's a big one. I feel like I'm Sanford and Son over here. It's a big one. Oh, wow, Nelly.
That's a good pull for you right there. Kenny Pickett to the Eagles in a pick swap, sources tell. Once Pittsburgh signed Russell Wilson, they preferred to move on from Kenny Pickett, and that's what they're doing today. He'll go back up Jalen Hurts.
Oh, man.
It's Russ's gig, man.
Wow. Unbelievable.
That's surprising, right? They're handing the keys to the Pittsburgh Steelers to Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Bold choice.
It really is. But I think, you know, I'm not going to take a shot at Russ here, but to me it says
you
need. I'm going to let you do that.
Okay.
I'm going to take a shot at Kenny Pickett.
There we go.
It sums up Kenny Pickett, how they view him. And he's not the answer for them and won't ever be the answer for them. And so what they're looking at is, okay, let's just make this the Russell Wilson show. We feel better about him coming in here and just doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
Then having a competition, all of a sudden it's 50-50 reps, and no, we're going to let him know he's the guy, and we're going to get behind him, and we're just going to move on from Kenny Pickett because we don't think there's a future here for Kenny Pickett. So I think it's I didn't expect to see that or hear that today, but I think it's probably, they know Pickett better than anyone.
Oh, yeah.
And so if that's the way that you feel, then just make the move. Like, don't go down this road just to go down this road because you drafted the guy, what, in the first round?
20th overall, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you realize it, turn the page and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what good organizations do. That's what the Broncos did. Realize, hey, Russ, Sean, not going to work. We're done. We're moving on. We know there's some ramifications there. And the Steelers look at it and say, Pickett's not the guy. Let's just open up this thing just for Russell Wilson. This is his show,
mm-hmm.
And that's what they're doing today. Wow! What? Give me the what was the trade again?
To Philadelphia in a pick swap. We don't know any of the details yet, but it's a pick swap.
Can he pick
Eagles.
It to Philly?
Philly
to back up Hurts, and there's just a pick swap.
Yep.
Wow! Wow! Russell
that's
Wilson.
Nothing for Kenny Pickett. The guy was the 20th pick.
Yeah, good move by the Eagles.
Yeah,
I mean, what are you swapping fourth rounders or fifth
Probably,
rounders or
yeah.
whatever the case may be? Wow, that's did not see that one coming today.
It's also just interesting to me that Russ is just given this job. I'm not sold on Kenny Pickett either, but I'm certainly not sold on Russell Wilson. Sounds like the Pittsburgh Steelers think they know something about Russ that we don't.
Well, once again, I think what they're telling us is they know a lot about Kenny Pickett.
Oh, it's the other end of it.
Yeah, that's what okay. I think it's telling us more than anything. Because if they like Pickett at all, you're keeping him.
Yeah.
And guess what? Hey, you're the backup.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to be the backup, buddy. Because you picked him in the first round a couple years ago. So that just tells me they don't like him at all. They don't think he has any potential to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And so it's there you go. It's Russell Wilson's show in Pittsburgh. Let's see what it looks like. It's going to be interesting, man. And the Broncos play him. And Russ will be the starter unless he right. gets hurt. I mean, that's the opener.
Has
right?
to be. Has to be.
That's the opener.
You know what else I keep thinking about? Like, he goes
right.
has some success, wins a handful of games out there. You know what they're going to do?
What?
They're going to give him another contract. It ain't going to be no $38 million a year, but they're going to give him another contract.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly. I mean, they're looking for a quarterback to you know, be there for a few years, mm-hmm. certainly. And if he manages the game and does a nice job for him, yeah. I mean, you know, they'll give him another contract. You're absolutely right.
All right, we'll hit a timeout. We're going to come back, kick off quarter number four, hour number four, by doing a couple of things. I have the numbers for Adam Trautman's deal, your favorite player.
Wow.
I'm sure you want to know what these are.
Wow, I can't wait for
And
these.
Speaking of Russ, he talked today briefly about his time in Denver now that he is officially the starter in Pittsburgh. We'll hit both next.